Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show, from coast to coast, and every once in a while, in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 I'm off a beer, damn it!
Did you say hello in German?
All right. Bitte sein.
That's goodbye, right?
I don't know. Hey, how's it going? This is Toby here at BeerCoastersPodcast.com, and you're watching the Beer Coasters Podcast, an entirely self-absorbed beer show dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast. Right. And every once in a while in between. And like Mike said, not this week as far as drinking American craft beer, because we are celebrating Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Oktoberfest, yeah.
And who's joining me?
This is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
All right. And yes, so happy Oktoberfest. We're doing this, you know, slightly early only because our show officially comes out on Friday, kick off the Oktoberfest season. And so for this YouTube, we're doing something a little different. We are drinking two beers, two different beers. Normally we just drink the one that we all, you know, that we all taste the one beer. But this week, I grabbed one Polliner, Mike grabbed another Polliner, so hey, said, hey, let's just do both of them on the show. And
yeah, instead of us going out buying more Polliner.
Right. So it might get a little confusing, well, at least for me, after a while. I'd be like, okay, wait, what beer are you tasting? Oh, okay. Anyway.
Although, well, yeah, we'll mention a little bit about that in a minute, about confusing the two beers.
And what is the one beer that you will be trying,
Mike? I'm going to try the Polliner Oktoberfest Marzen.
And that. I will be
Marzen.
And I will be trying the Polliner Oktoberfest Weizen. And on their website, they don't really give up much information as far as specifics on ingredients.
Did we mention what episode number this was?
Oh, we didn't. What episode number is it?
227.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember that? No
place like home. Yep. No place like home. That's right. Shout out to Jack Hay.
This is a fermentation conversation.
All right, so I guess I'll give a little bit of information on my beer first. Sorry, Mike, I'm going to jump in there.
Oh, you're going to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to go first, at least as far as cracking it and giving some information. But
I don't really have – I think my information is probably going to be the same, except I'm assuming yours is with wheat. But
I guess, but, you know, on their website, they don't really differentiate the two. They kind of lump them together,
yeah.
And they say the hops are from the Hallertau region of Bavaria, but they are out of Munich, Germany. They've been brewing since 1634. Their website is polliner.com, 6% ABV. So they got a little jump on the American craft beer scene.
Yeah, well, not on my hometown or not Boston.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. So let's crack it.
Sounds good. Yeah, I don't have much different information than Toby does. We're both going to drink out of some monster glasses here.
Yeah, I've got the Hofbräu Munich glass. It's a doozy.
Matter of fact, because my mug is so big, I'm going to pour two beers.
Look at you.
It's Oktoberfest, yeah?
Yes, celebrate. You are meant to consume more than one, that's for sure. All right. Very, very clear. Very clear. I got lots of head. I got about a Yeti finger and a half of head there.
I got two. Actually, I think I got exactly two beers in this mug. Right to the last drop.
Nice.
Not much head, but.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Perfect.
Now that's a glass of beer right there.
Yeah, very clear. I have a. Mine is very golden in color, very yellow. Pale
mine's
yellow
more of the,
in color.
Amber, you know, going that copperish. Always looks darker here.
Lots of carbonation. Lots of carbonation. And on the nids. Smells sweet.
Mine, I'm getting some kind of sweet breadiness.
Yeah, and that's what it—that's really what it is. It's like a honey bread, almost like a lemon honey bread on mine. And yeah, and I got to remember not to bounce my my descriptions off of yours.
Yeah.
A lot of times I find that I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I am picking up on that.
It's a different beer.
You're drinking the Steel Reserve.
Kind of a sweet carameliness in this one that I wouldn't assume would be in yours.
Yeah, mine has some floral.
But keep in mind, this is all kind of pretty moderate, you know, as far, I mean, it's kind of light in as far as aroma goes. And these beers aren't really known for being kind of, you know, big, bold aroma and or flavor for that matter.
Right.
You know, they were designed to be very sessionable beers. And what'd you say off mic, to be able to drink a liter of it at a time?
Yeah. They're designed for the liter consumption.
Yeah. I got to take a sip. All right.
Prost.
Prost.
Taking a sip,
it's a nice healthy sip there. I got a little bit of like toffee, but also a little bit of that. What's it remind me of? Like a very, I don't know, I'm getting a little bit of like a toasted caramelness to it, but it's very, very light.
Yeah, this one is super light, super clean. There's lots of these kind of sweet floral notes and a little bit of that toasted kind of cracker, but a really light toasted crackeriness. I mean, this is like, it's got some decent flavor, but man, you can pound it. Yeah. I mean, it's easily.
Yeah, mine's very good.
Mine kind of has a
sweetness to it, but it, you still want to take more, you know, another sip.
Yeah.
Kind of dries up a bit, though, at the end.
A little bit.
Now, does yours have anything, like, can you tell that it's a wheat beer?
A little bit. It does have a certain, some of that softness that you get out of a wheat.
It's funny that you say that because I kind of
it's like a crystal ice, you know.
Like mine has a soft mouthfeel to it. It's like the carbonation is kind of like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, it's kind of delicate, you know. It's not like super effervescent. It's kind of it's there, but it feels like it's very kind of tiny bubble carbonation. All right, here we go. What are we going to pair with this stuff? Honestly, I just want a couple of hot dogs with this beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, you say hot dog and I'm like, oh man, ball game.
Yeah.
You know,
huge Frankfurter.
Yeah. Yes, any kind of light German fare, of course, would work.
We
soft pretzel.
We do this for those of you who haven't listened to previous Oktoberfest issues. We pretty much do this food pairing every year. Like, yeah, we'll have a sausage with this. Oh, I'll have bratwurst with this. I want a pretzel and sauerkraut and all that stuff. So we kind of cop out on the food pairing.
Let me switch it up a little bit and kind of go off of some of the sauerkraut there and do a Reuben with, on rye. I think the rye bread and the mustard and the sauerkraut and what is it, roast beef that's in that?
See, now I want a roast beef instead of a hot dog.
Or no, it's pastrami. Sorry, it's pastrami. Yeah,
if you want,
what I'm going to go with.
You can listen to some of our older Oktoberfests. We have the Kaiserfest show, right?
That was last year, yeah.
Deutschland Uber Ales
Oh, that one was last year.
That's last year. Yeah. The year before, I think, was Kaiserfest or Oktoberfest. The third one. We've done quite a few. I think we've done five of them now.
Every year, yeah. So yeah. Now it's kind of tradition for us to do a Oktoberfest show. We usually do a St. Paddy's Day show and an Oktoberfest show as far as the drinking holidays go.
The sacred beer drinking holidays.
Yeah. So let's get some ratings. Go ahead, Mike, if you've got yours.
I don't, but I'm going to pull them up real quick here. Beer Advocate users rate this an 87, which is very good. And the Brothers Alstrom have tried this beer, and they gave it an 88, which is very good as well. Untappd rates this a 3.65 out of 7,672 ratings. I'm going to check in mine right now.
And for the Polliner Weissen beer, the Beer Advocate users give it an 86, which is very good. Nothing from the bros. And on Untappd, they have rated it a 3.5 out of 3,816 ratings. Top place to drink it is at Oktoberfest 2013 in Addison, Texas. Wow.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Two beers, one show.
Well, actually, there's three beers. Count my
two.
Oh,
that's right. Three beers.
Hey, they fit in one mug. I had to fill it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a glass all full kind of guy.
All right,
folks.
All right, so happy Oktoberfest. Prost. And I hope you're enjoying the festivities.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines at the Beer Coasters Daily.
All right, y'all, for this week's Hop Tibbies, this comes from the Brews Paper, which is, if you go to beercoasterspodcast.com and you click on the Hop Topics link, you'll find this story posted there, and you can also click on the Brews Paper link, and it will take you to our Brews Paper. This story was spotted by CrowdBrewed on Twitter, @CrowdBrewed. And the story is 7 signs that the craft beer craze has gone totally mainstream.
Totally.
I wonder if one of those is has something to do with the Beer Coasters podcast, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
This article actually comes from Time. business.time.com.
Oh.
And here's some 7 things, 7 signs the craft beer has gone totally mainstream. Mike, why don't you take the first 4?
Well, this one's about my buddy. If you guys see us, we were, you know, at a nice photo op recently.
Yeah.
You know, me and my billionaire buddy. And that's what this is all about. It's saying that there's a craft bear. It's a craft beer. Now there's a craft beer millionaire. That's right, folks. Jim Cook of the Boston Beer Company.
Wait a minute,
did you say
millionaire or billionaire with a B?
Billion with a B, as in beer.
Yes, as in Boston.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. The other one is there's a new craft beer movie. Described as the sideways of Chicago craft beer scene, Drinking Buddies is a new craft beer movie that's coming. Is it out or is it coming out soon? Do we know that?
I think it was out.
Quick, Google it.
It might be gone now.
It's one of those romantic comedies that kind of revolves around, you know, people working in a brewery or the craft beer scene or whatever. So
maybe we'll have it's to a rom-com that takes place at a brewery.
Rom-com. We're going to have to, maybe we'll have to watch this rom-com and review it on the show.
Sure.
Beer in a Movie with Mike and Toby. The other one is, let's see, and a new craft beer TV show. So you remember a while back we did the Brewmaster show with Dogfish Head and Sam.
Yeah.
Caligioni. There is a new show, Brewdogs, and that's with the Brewdogs Brewery, the two guys from Scotland. That's a new show, and I believe is that going to be on the Discovery Channel as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
And they travel around the United States and they do all these crazy because they're known for doing crazy beers, and they're going to do even more crazy stuff. It looks really cool, and actually looks like a pretty cool show.
Bottle of beer in roadkill.
yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have a reputation of doing some crazy stuff.
You're gonna get a TV show.
Maybe that's all we needed to do to get a TV show.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're kind of using. We're hoping Crazy Dave will give us that edge. But he seems to be more serious about the beer now and less crazy.
What's wrong with him?
He's losing his edge. And
needs his edge back.
Come on, man. You're our foot in to the Discovery Channel. We need more crazy.
So the fourth one here, I didn't actually read into it, and I probably should have, but it says craft brewery tours are hot political photo ops. I guess that's pretty self-explanatory.
You've
seen more, photo opportunities that brewery tours and whatnot. So,
yeah. With Obama going to some, did he go to breweries or?
Yeah, I think that, and they've showed him several times with craft beers and that whole thing with the brewery, brewing in the White House and stuff? It honey?
White House honey ale or something? Or
something like that, yeah.
And yeah, another sign that craft beer has gone mainstream is big retailers are embracing craft beer, like Walmart.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I guess they carry brands like Deschutes, not just Keystone, Bud, and Heineken. Of course, Whole Foods, it's a national chain. They do, beer tastings all the time. They do 25% off craft beer during American Craft Beer Week. Hmm. Costco, I know, has really stepped up, and that's one of the best for your money. I mean, that's like one of the best places to get craft beer is Costco. I've found, if you want some Sierra Nevada Torpedo, it's like $1.20 a bottle, or it comes down to less than $1 a bottle on some of them. Wow. Which is,
that's great. That's fantastic. Pretty sweet for a craft beer. Yeah.
Stone IPA or Stone Pale Ale, get a whole case of it. And I think in Southern California, you go to Costco there and you get, I've seen pictures, friends will post pictures of the stock at Costco, and it's like the brewery, you get like a six pack of 750s from the brewery and, Ballast Point, stuff like that.
Cool.
So I've been impressed. And another one, Big Beer keeps trying to co-opt the craft beer appeal. And we've talked about this so many times before about the craft versus crafty, like Blue Moon and Shock Top. CNBC recently noted, the Cascade hops are being used in Heineken Light or something.
No,
so it's like even Heineken is trying to like get in on it. I guess CNBC noted that. And the last one, the seventh sign that craft beer has gone totally mainstream, anyone and everyone, it seems, can start brewing. So hundreds of breweries open annually, thousands more enthusiasts giving home brewing a shot.
Well, I don't know. Yes, anybody can start home brewing, but that doesn't mean that anybody can go ahead and start their own brewery. You know, right. I mean, there's a lot more, and that kind of, I don't know, that last comment kind of bugs me, because that's like saying anyone can start their fortune, you know, their own Fortune 500 company. No, right. No, you can't. You know, that's not, it's not that easy. You know, starting a business, it doesn't matter, you know, yes, anybody can start brewing or start making little, little widgets or, you know, but it takes a lot more than that. It takes, you know, you got to do your homework, you know, you got to have a business sense as well as a creative sense, you know?
Well, I think maybe they're talking about it in the sense that, you know, we just saw our 50th state pass the, you know, homebrew law.
Well, you know what? That should have been 50 one of the comments. The fact that the laws have been changing and making it, you know,
more accessible
to the average person.
Right.
But not to say that, anyone can start a brewing company. It's like, you.
Well, now you even have, you know, Will Wheaton. So you have these celebrities that are
starting to home
brew. They're really big into home brewing. Yeah. And there's another celebrity I think I heard of recently, a woman who said she was into home brewing. And then, of course, you know, we just talked about the president. Here you've got, there's a White House home brew, you know. So then everybody's like, oh, wow, yeah, I should start, you know, brewing my own beer. But then, you know, there's probably a lot of the people that jump on that bandwagon because they want to start a brewery and make tons of money because it's this, you know, it's the latest thing. But hey, man, if the more the merrier, in my opinion. If somebody thinks they can brew and wants to start brewing and I can get my hands on it and I like it, then sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, here we are 5 years in. I mean, we're still finding new brewery. I mean, there's new breweries that have popped up since we've started this show.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. We was the first time we talked about it was like 1,400 craft breweries, and now it's like well over 2,000, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, there you have it. That is our hot topic for this week.
Craft beer's mainstream, man.
Seven signs that craft beer craze has gone totally mainstream. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the hot topics link. We'll have it posted there if you want to give us a comment. All that stuff. Send us some backwash. Do whatever.
Does that mean we'd like to hear from you. We're not cool anymore? Does that mean that we have to do some kind of underground alternative beverage podcast now?
I don't know if we ever were cool. Or ever will be. So I wouldn't worry about it, Mike.
Okay. Only in my dreams.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Tasting like Mike. Yeah.
That's right, folks. It's my turn, my tasting flight. Although our fermentation conversation was kind of a double tasting flight, simultaneous.
Yeah.
You
double
and me
fermentation
simultaneously. So, my tasting flight beer is from a Rhode Island brewery. It's Gray Sail Brewing Company. And this is their Autumn Winds Fest beer. It's from Gray Sail Brewing Company out of Westerly, Rhode Island. They have not been brewing since 1634. I don't know why. I must have copied and pasted that from something else.
hey, they could have been.
This is a
new brewery.
Well, not a lot of time. Sometimes I find that breweries don't even put that stuff on there. They're just like, oh, yeah, we got started in this town and with my brother so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. But they never put what year.
Yeah.
I like to see, like, how long people have been brewing for, you know.
The difference, doesn't it? If they've been brewing for, like, a week or 100 years.
Right. You know. You're like, oh, these guys just started last year? Oh, yeah.
But they could be fantastic. Yeah. Their website is graysailbrewing.com. The style of beer I'm drinking is a Marzen. The ABV is 5.8, and the IBUs are 27. I did not get the malts. It just says 5 premium German malts.
Ooh.
And for hops, it's Hallertau and Saaz. I'm going crack it. It's a can.
Sweet. Oktoberfest in a can.
That's right.
Is that a tall boy?
It is a, well, kind of. It's it like
looks
a,
like a tall
it's
boy.
A, it's a pint.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a pint can. And it's going to fill my glass here.
I think all cans should be pints.
They should.
Screw the 12-ounce cans.
Yeah, those are lame. So I got a good 2 fingers
ahead. Come on, Sierra Nevada. Coming out with your torpedo in a can. Oh, no, Sierra Nevada actually does the pints. The torpedo, oh, yeah. You can get them in 4-packs. Nice. Yeah.
Something like torpedo. They should come in like cool, big, special-shaped bottles or something, you know?
Yeah, or big hand grenades.
Yeah.
Oil cans. Was that Foster's with the oil can?
Oil cans. Big old oil cans, yeah. So it's lighter than the Polliner Marzen. It's a very deep kind of gold color, bordering on amber, but not quite.
Nice. Lots head you got there.
Why, thank you. On the nose?
On the, ooh.
Big honey.
I thought it was going to be on something else.
Pardon me while I put this someplace else. It's got a honeycomb type aroma to it. Big, airy honeycomb goodness. I can't think of a better word to describe it. Just honey. Smells like honey. And something else. What else? A little bit of carameliness. But the honey is big. And then some breadiness is coming through here. Still got to get through this big old soapy head. Still started out about 2 fingers. About a finger now.
You ever have those honeycomb candies, those chocolates?
Not chocolates, no.
Well, they're covered in chocolate. They have the honeycomb, whatever that is that they use. It's like solidified cotton candy.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, it's not real honey. It'd be nice if it was, huh? No, but when you have honeycomb and you get, like, you can just, you know, you're chewing on the wax and getting all the, that's what that aroma. I got to take a sip. There's some other kind of sweet yeastiness in there.
Taking a sip, y'all.
And you can tell right away, this is American. It's definitely an American version of the that Oktoberfest style. It's much richer maltiness. Still big malty beer. I mean, there is some hops at the end that kind of dry it up, but it's all big maltiness in the middle. If you're a malty beer fan, this is a treat.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. But yeah, I think you're right. Of other American breweries, even any other kind of just German style, you know, not necessarily Oktoberfest. I know that I've had certain American breweries that brew a German style, and it's like super biscuity, and it's like a really big mouthful and really hearty. You know, you're drinking this beer that's like super hearty.
Yeah.
But then thinking back on when I was in Germany years and years ago, I remember if I was to drink one of those German beers, American German beer, in one of those big ass mugs, there's no way I'd be able to finish it. And I know I've taken down a couple of those liter mugs.
Yeah.
I mean, even here in town, you go to the Hofbrauhaus here in Vegas and you're getting traditional German dunkels and German lagers. And yeah, man, you can just pound those like you can in the old country, in the motherland.
In the motherland. Maybe your mother. Yeah, there's some, man, all kind of like toasted, caramely, big malt character.
Something else going on.
You know, it finishes clean though. It's got a nice big malty middle to it, but dries up, finishes pretty clean. It's more drinkable than I expect. When I took this first sip, I was like, oh, there's no way this is like a real, like, sessionable beer. But I think it was just in comparison to the other. But now as I'm taking, a few sips, it's becoming more drinkable, not as heavy.
Right. What is it, 5.8 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it feels kind of like it would be a little bit bigger of a beer. But yeah, it's only 5.8, but it's got it just feels heavier than that, you know? And there's something about the maltiness in there that makes me want pizza. Like I want like a pizza port pizza, or there's some great local pizza around here as well. But I'm just something like a really good, you know, really good dough. You know, awesome crust. That's what, for some reason, I'm just kind of craving that. I think with a, you know, like a pepperoni or, you know, sausage and peppers even, that would actually be really good. I think sausage and peppers on pizza would be really good with this beer. I'm glad this actually comes in four packs. It's a little four pack in cans, and I forget how much it was. New brewery. I'm definitely going to have to check out some more stuff from them. Oh, wait a second. I got some more.
What do you know?
Noble hops.
Looked at the can.
Yeah. How about that? The can gives me information. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Just says European malts and German noble hops. Although their website says 5 premium German. Huh. That's really strange. I kind of want to go look at that and see. Yeah, it says right on their website, 5 premium German malts. And then on the can, it says hand-blended European malts, which, not that Germany's not European, but...
Right.
But and German noble hops. And on the website, it mentions specifically Hallertau and Saaz. So...
Well, it's Hallertau and Saaz are... I think those are noble hops.
What makes them noble?
I think it's the region. There's
some kind of hop bloodline that makes them
noble? Yeah, it's like it's like a region, or it's because that's what when Sam Adams did their whole like noble breakdown, I think they did a few beers that were using different noble hops. But yeah, they're all from a certain longitude or something. And I think it crosses right through Germany.
Yeah.
Is where you get those noble hops. It's kind of like, you know, the Noir Valley or something like that from, or Champagne, you know, it's like, it's got to come from a certain region.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I know what you're saying.
Maybe we should ask the beer jerking guy about noble hops.
Should we? Is he not? Maybe he hasn't described that before.
All right, yeah, how about that? Let's throw it to the beer jargon guy.
Right, let's ask him.
Let's ask him about some noble hops and see if he can correct me.
I'm sure he can.
He has before. I'm sure.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is a noble hops. Noble hops refer to the four varieties of continental European hops, originally grown in Central Europe. The four hop varieties are Ettenanger, Spalt, Hallertau, and Saaz.
Well, how about that?
Thank you, beer jargon guy.
Yeah, that guy just knows everything. It's amazing.
Love having him on the show, especially when he's talking about beer and not, what is it, rabbits? Rabbit poop or something?
Yes.
Rabbits eating their poop?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a beer jargon thing? Or no, he talked about coconuts. That's what it was. Coconuts. Yeah, beer jargon guy talking about coconuts.
Yeah.
So, good to have you back in your true realm of expertise.
Yes. Although he did come, what was he just on last week? What did he say? What was he talking about? Was it the beer style last week? Or?
Oh gosh, I can't even remember.
Wow, I can't even remember what we did last week.
Must have been a good show.
I guess so. Was it the second part of
Beer Camp? Oh no, last week was Berliner Weiss. That's what it was. Berliner Weiss,
that's what it was. Okay, yeah, the style. Wow, man, I can't believe we didn't remember that. That's bad.
Yeah, we're still in Germany. Ooh. 2 weeks in a row.
Maybe we have to go on another tour.
Hey, we just got back from one. Jeez. World Tour South Pacific. Pacific Rim.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, your tasty flight has lasted long enough, Mike. Jeez.
All right. We'll get right to the ratings and wrap this stuff up. So,
I got a drink. What are you talking
about? Beer Advocate users.
Oh, those ratings.
Beer Advocate users, nothing. The bros, nothing. There's been 7 ratings on Beer Advocate, so not enough to rate it. The Untappd users rate this a 3.59 out of 114 ratings. See that, folks? Untappd gets 114, and Ye Old Beer Advocate gets 7.
Ye Old.
All right. So yeah, check these guys out. I'm gonna make sure that I try a few more on the show from these guys. Very interesting, you know, in the world of, you know, aggressively hopped American style beers, this is kind of a pleasant departure, but I'll talk more about that in last call.
Ooh.
Right.
Mike's taking a step back from the hoppy beers.
Oh, one more thing. I wanted to mention the top places to drink this beer is Doherty's Ale House Pub in Warwick, Rhode Island. That's all.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with 2 locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, this is Toby for my 2013 Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I want Tobias.
I am drinking a
new brewery.
That's right. This is Santa Fe Brewing Company out of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Wow. This is so their. Cool. What a coincidence that their name is the same as the city they're in, man.
I know. It's crazy. So this is their Oktoberfest. And check it out, Mike. It's in a can.
Nice. I love it.
And I love this can, yeah, too.
It's perfect. There's it no mistaking the, that for an October.
Right. It's got the blue and white checker pattern, yeah. And then it has a little picture of one of the German hats with the feather. Yeah. And then on the other side, we got a pretzel.
Nice. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So, yes, like I said, this is Santa Fe Brewing Company out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. They've been brewing since I don't know when.
That's what it says on the website.
1988.
They've been brewing since I don't know when.
Since 1988. So they've been around. They've been around as long as like Deschutes and those guys.
Yeah, 88. They've been around a long time.
Hey, man.
I guess that's kind of when day. It was 87. Something happened in 87. A lot of craft breweries popped up around that time too.
No, that was 96. Class of 96 is when
class of
it. In San Diego when there was a bunch of, you know, Stone and Coronado, and Carl Strauss has been around since 89, I think. All right, so their website is santafebrewing.com. This is a Mautzen 6% ABV. The malts are Pilsen and Munich. The hops are Herzbrucker and Tettnanger. And they use their house lager yeast. Cracking it. Oh, yeah. Wow,
that was a big crack.
That's what she said.
Oh, I am producing, you know what? This head. This brewery, I'm sorry, if you guys listened to my tasting flight earlier.
No, they just skipped right past it.
They could have. They just want to listen to Beer Coaster Toby. For the Gray Sail Brewing Company, they actually have a pumpkin beer called Gordomyces.
Nice.
I might have to grab that one.
So I got about 2 Yeti fingers of head. And it's kind of an orangish color. Yeah, it's slightly cloudy. But yeah, 2 Yeti fingers of head, and it's an off-white, really fluffy head. Got some decent carbonation going on the nose. So you can really pick up on the lageriness. A little bit of that kind of metallic-y, grassy notes coming through. A little bit of a biscuitiness. Yeah, I mean, it smells like...
Smells Marzen-y.
Yeah, it smells Marzen-y. Alright. Taking a sip, y'all! Very bready. Oh, yeah. It has that... Like, it's light, but it has that really doughy breadiness. So it's kind of smooth and creamy. There's not a whole lot of bite. There's a little tiny bit of possibly a hop bite, or maybe that little lagery bite in the beginning. But then it kind of smooths out, and then you're left with this really doughy breadiness. It reminds me of like, you know, beers you would get at Gordon Biersch, places like that, that kind of specialize in the German styles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very, very German. I mean, it's just close my eyes and do a blind taste test, be like, oh, this tastes like a German beer. Not bad. A little bit of like a honey, a slight honeyness, and some floral notes in there. Not bad. But yeah, it kind of has a more of that, a little bit more body than you would want out of a chugging beer. But, you know, this is 6%, so it's a little bit on the upside, you know. I mean, the Polliner was 6% also, and not bad. There's some sweetness. For a food pairing, you could do spicy food with this. You could do... Maybe even Mexican food, I think, might even work. Because now that I say Mexican food, it almost feels kind of Pacifico-like. Or Negra Modelo, kind of like that. Except for Negra, I think, is a little more of a bite and more a lot more lagery than this. But yeah, it does kind of have a kind of Pacifico feel about it. So I think... Just some beef tacos, real greasy beef tacos, or a carne asada burrito, something like that.
Oktoberfest beer with Mexican food.
I know. I think it works. It would work, yeah.
I'm not against it.
So, there you go. Let's do some ratings.
Ratings? Sure. Let's do some ratings.
Untapped. Comes in at a 3.41 out of 791 ratings. Top place to drink it is the Flying Saucer Draft Emporium in San Antonio, Texas. The number 2 spot is the Santa Fe Brewing Company.
Beer Advocate users rate this an 82, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom have not tried this beer. I really do like right. This can. There's just no mistaking that.
It is. It's this cool, is, man. It, I might have to keep like it.
It's so generic that it's cool. You know, it's like they take all the iconography that anybody can identify with Oktoberfest, yeah. And there it is.
Yep. All right, this Santa Fe Brewing Company. This is their Oktoberfest, and we'll be back. right after this. Kate Sexton 881 says, "You press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer."
Tweet of the week, yeah!
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
Yeah, time for some backwash. The Beer Coaster's email and hotline and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
All right, Mike, take the first one.
Oh, I don't even have it. I thought you were going to take it. All right, so I'm going to scroll down the program guide here. First piece of backwash comes from Niche Richardson, and this is a comment
better known as Ms. Niche.
Ms. Niche, and this comes from a comment on our YouTube show, and it says, "Love you guys, great cast as usual." Well, thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, Ms. Niche. We appreciate it.
Yes, so we do use our YouTube comments as backwash.
Yes, we use everything.
That's why sometimes we don't have backwash, because we use everything.
Yeah. Or sometimes we forget to use certain things, but we try to use everything.
Yeah. Because by this time of the show, we've already had our fill of beer, and you know, we're like, oh, wait a minute. Did somebody send us an email? Did somebody tweet about me?
It's from Sarah in New Jersey. Hello, longtime listener, first time caller.
Next piece of backwash. This comes from our new good buddy, Christopher Reed.
Wait a second. Is this Superman?
No, not Reeves.
Oh.
Reed.
Oh, Reed. Yeah, he's like the super ultra mega toaster dude, right?
Yeah, since Malt Porter has been kind of out of this picture for a while, Chris Reed kind of stepped in and was like the Chia's master, the toasting master. Yep. But now Malt Porter's back, so he better watch out. But anyways, Chris Reed.
Malt Porter is back, but we haven't heard from him.
Really? No, I hear from him on Untapped.
Untapped, yeah. All right.
Yeah. I think he's all caught up with our shows. Let's see. So Chris Reed, he hit us up on Facebook last week and said, "Hey, send me some coasters. LA Beer Week is happening." So Crazy Dave jumped on it, sent him some coasters, and this is in regards to that. He says, "Thanks. I handed them all out, but the few I kept. People seemed interested. Even some of the hardcore beer snobs. Some said they already hear the podcast."
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cool.
Now that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And anybody else out there, if they're interested in coasters, whether you frequent a craft beer bar or you just want them for yourself, but we really like you to kind of hand them out to as many people as possible and get the word out there about the show and craft beer. Spread the craft beer love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
I think that's
our backwash. And you can hit us up. You can go to our website, beercoasterspodcast.com. You can click on the contact us link and you can leave us an email, or you can email us straight backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also, you know, do like Ms. Niche did, comment on our YouTube shows, or you can tweet us, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Comment on the Facebook website. Us. You can call, drunk dial us, do whatever you want.
Yeah, don't forget about the drunk dial. That's right. 339-225-9274.
Email us a video. Whatever you want to do. Clothing optional for you ladies. That was so creepy.
Yeah.
Can you edit that out?
No. All right. Last call.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Go ahead, Mike.
How do you say last call in German?
Last call.
All right. Sorry. Something like that.
Best I could do.
All right. Pint ratings. Mike, hit me.
All right.
The Holliner Oktoberfest Mazen. Very sessionable, drinkable beer. Nice little caramel notes in there. I'll tell you, this is not really what you consider like a craft beer. At least I didn't think, you know, something so widely distributed. Because this is one of the biggest, you know, as far as the Oktoberfest styles that are distributed throughout the world. It's got to be one of the biggest. It's got to
be. Yeah, they're probably one of the sponsored Oktoberfest in Munich. You know, when you go to Munich and you're at Oktoberfest, it's probably one of the few beers you can drink when you go into the huge drinking halls.
And Spaten and I guess now Hofbräu too. That seems to be kind of bigger and bigger. I wouldn't even doubt it if it's kind of all these beers are kind of under the same roof. But that's, you know, beside the point. This tasted fresh to me. It didn't taste like a macrobrewery beer. I enjoyed it.
You were telling me off mic that it tasted fresh compared to most import beers you have.
Yeah, a lot of European imports that I get, I seem to have very bad luck. They're either, you know, oxidized or they're skunked or both. You know, they have a real kind of harsh metallic-y, lagery taste to it. This was none of that. And, it's really good. Probably doesn't, you know, hurt at all that I'm drinking an Oktoberfest when I'm supposed to be drinking it, as opposed to the, you know, 3, 4, 5-year-old beers that I've had on the show, you know, previous shows that sit in my fridge for years. I'm going to give this one a 3, and it seems like, you know, I've kind of talked it up, you'd expect me to give it more. I just think that it's super solid. I mean, you could drink this, at a festival and not be disappointed with the flavor, because it's got a nice flavor profile, that doesn't feel kind of like a watered down, you know, watered down version of an Oktoberfest. So, I'm giving it a 3. The Graysale Brewing Company's Autumn Winds, their fest beer. This is a malty man's beer. If you like big malt character in your beer, you're gonna love this. I really enjoy beers like this sometimes. Sometimes I want just kind of a good malty, red ale or a really caramely brown ale with not too much hop bitterness, and if you want kind of a malt, you know, a mouthful of malt, this is the beer for you. I'm gonna give this a 4. I really like this one, and I'm really, really interested in seeing what this brewery has to offer. It's the first time I've seen it at any of the liquor stores I've been at, so I'm gonna keep an eye out for it. I did look on their website, and it looks like 2011, I think, is when they started brewing.
Alright.
Yeah, April of 2011. So they haven't been around that long. Just seeing them in Massachusetts, you know, my neck of the woods now. I don't know if they've got larger distribution or if I just kind of got lucky with this, you know, particular liquor store. But yeah, it's good. I'm a solid 4. I'm saying a lot of ums this week that I thought I've gotten rid of over time. Hmm. I guess I haven't.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. There's my ratings for my Oktoberfest. I'm enjoying them all. I'm drinking them like they're going out of style.
For me, in my Polliner Oktoberfest Weizen, I think I like mine a little bit more than Mike did.
Keep in mind, these are different beers.
Yes. Very clean, very drinkable. Something I would really enjoy having a lot of at, you know, an Oktoberfest type thing. And so I'm gonna go 4 pints. I really liked it. I thought it was good. And the Santa Fe Oktoberfest, I think it's pretty good. It's got a lot of your typical, you know, German flavors and all that stuff. It's a little bit more on the doughy, biscuity side, but not a bad thing. But I think I'm gonna go 3 on that one. It's good. I think it's a pretty good representation of a German Oktoberfest, a German Mosen. So yeah, I definitely say if you're in the mood, it's pretty solid. You know, there's nothing really wrong with it. You know what? I think I'm gonna bump it up to 3.5. Yeah, it's good. It is. It's good. You should definitely check it out if you like Oktoberfest type beers. Check it out. But like I said, it's a little bit more on the, it's a little more chewy than your typical German Martin, but not bad. So those are our pint ratings. Let's go to our shout outs. Mike, you said you didn't have any shout outs.
I do. I'm gonna pull them up here real quick.
Alright, well, while you're doing that, I want to give a shout out to Ms. Niche on YouTube. Thanks for the love. And Chris Reed, same to you, man. Thanks for the love. Thanks for handing out the coasters at LA Beer Week. That is so awesome. Rockstar status. Very cool. Thank you so much for doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Super cool.
And I also want to throw out, I don't know, I didn't write this down. I want to throw out Rick from the Land of the Ice and Snow. He's still around. He's toasting on Untappd, and he's commenting. And so I'm digging it. And Malt Porter, of course. And Crazy Dave. You guys, a busy man. You got no time to hang with us. So I'm going to give him a shout out.
I want to give a shout out to Sillaworks. Also, Backlash Brewing Company. The Beer Fridge. Chris Reed, of course. And Malt Porter. Megan Connolly. These are all, these guys just started following me, which is funny.
Malt Porter, yeah, he just got on Twitter.
Looks like, yeah, because he's still got the egg. He doesn't have a right. Just a little Twitter egg.
He hasn't Megan, hatched yet.
Yeah, he hasn't hatched. He hasn't come into his own, grew his own feathers and flown away. Also, I want to give a shout out to Craft Beer Cellar and also Good Oktoberfest that just favorited my tweet on the Oktoberfest Marzen. For the Polliner.
Nice. So
I thought that was kind of cool as well. And I think that's it for now.
Right on, folks. Don't forget, check out our website, beercoasterspodcast.com. Check out our YouTube channel. We've got lots of interesting YouTube videos of us drinking our fermentation conversation beers. And I think we're up to 40 videos now? 30?
Yeah, we're getting
something
up
like
there.
That.
Video-wise. No, it's been kind of a new venture for us, you know, as far as doing this whole video thing. But it's been fun, and, you know, we'll continue to do it, and hopefully you'll go, and obviously if you're listening to this part of the show, you're a listener of the show and not just of the YouTube. But if you
not
do listen to the show...
YouTuber.
Yeah, if you're not
you're
just
more
a
than
YouTuber.
That.
Tell your friends that, you know, or any of the people who have seen us on YouTube, say, hey, you know that those guys have like an entire show that they post every week, and it's like has a little higher production value than this little chat on YouTube. So yeah,
higher
tell your friends.
Production value.
Tell your friends' friends. When's the last time we said that?
Yeah. All right. See you next week. What are we doing next week?
Enjoy Oktoberfest, folks.
Yeah.
Drink a lot of Marzens and Oktoberfest Weizens, whatever the... I've never even heard of that.
And eat a lot of Bavarian pretzels.
Yeah, have pretzels and frankfurters and bratwursts and things.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut, yes.
Okay.
What are we doing next week? Oh, we're doing our pumpkin. We're supposed to have a pumpkin challenge.
Pumpkin tournament. Big old pumpkin tournament coming up.
Yep.
We haven't figured out quite how we're going to pull this off, but we're going to try.
It's the great pumpkin tournament, Charlie Brown.
The great pumpkin challenge, for sure.
Prost!
Yes, prost. Happy Oktoberfest. Who was that?
My can.
Did last week.
That was so creepy.
And just remember, folks, there ain't no place like home.
There's no place like home. I mean, no place, child.